Greetings from Bethany United Church of Christ here in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. This is week 6 of our virtual worship presentations. My hope is that we can be together sometime maybe in late May or early June. Wouldn't that be great? But not without a new normal of following guidelines by the health professionals. We will keep you posted on that. In the meantime, we invite you to share these services with family and friends. I want to now put out some thank yous. Thank you to those who are contributing donations to benefit the homeless of the area. Lunches are being handed out on Saturdays and Sundays at noon out of Christ, United Church of Christ here in Bethlehem. Also, many thanks to those who made masks to be given to these homeless folks. Many thanks to John Alba and his team of landscapers for the beautification of the Bethany Church property outside. It looks awesome. Many thanks to our worship team for this service, Susan and Aaron and Adrian and Beth and Jean, for helping to make worship happen in this beautiful sanctuary. How inspired we all are when we hear stories of outreach and support in these days, like those drive-by tributes to the medical teams at hospitals, like the daily 7 p.m. applause of New Yorkers from their homes, like the songs sung and music played over the internet, like the gift of that large rainbow over New York City, and the drawings and colorings of rainbows in the windows of folks. The story I saw on the news last night of a new mom who contracted COVID and was in a coma, and her 1-pound baby was delivered by C-section. Mom and baby are okay. Humanity really steps up, rises up, and conquers in times of crisis and trial. I encourage you and urge you to continue to stay home, to be safe, to be well, and may God bless you and yours this week. Let us now worship God with the prayer. At this point, you have a copy of the bulletin so that you may participate in this time of worship. We begin with the call to worship. Oh, sing to God a new song, for God has done marvelous things. All the ends of the earth have seen the victory of our God, for now is Christ risen from the dead. Alleluia. And now let us sing our first hymn, The Strife is O'er.
Distress and anguish.
Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, save my life. What shall I return to the Lord for all his bounty to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his faithful ones. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your serving girl. You have loosed my bonds. I will offer to you a thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the house of the Lord, in your midst, O Jerusalem. Praise the Lord. The epistle lesson comes to us from 1 Peter, verses 17 through 23. If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were transformed from the futile ways inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God. And now the Gospel from the Holy Gospel of Luke, the 24th chapter, verses 13 through 35, the story of the walk to Emmaus, two disciples who meet Jesus. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. And then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there in these days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some women of our group astounded us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. Then he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to where they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on. But they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over.' So he went in to stay with them. When he was at table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?' That that same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered together. And they were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." Then they told what had happened on their road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It is perhaps one of the most compelling narrative stories in all of the scriptures. So fascinating is this scene, in fact, that the gospel writer Luke includes it in great detail near the end of his gospel writing. It's a story well known and beloved in the church, the story of those two disciples walking down this dusty road to the village of Emmaus, the evening of that first Easter day. Their talk centers around this crucified, dead Jesus. Their words come out slowly, almost painfully, as they trudge their way along, their feet heavy and their hearts broken. "I can hardly believe it," one of them says. "In fact, I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't seen it with my own eyes. He is dead. He is really gone." "What should we do now?" the other asks. "Life seems hopeless." And just then, this stranger joins them. Perhaps he had come up from behind, unknown to them. Perhaps he had walked along with them for a while without their even noticing. But suddenly, this person is with them. "I'm sorry," he says, "but I couldn't help but overhear you. What are you talking about?" They stop and turn to him. Other travelers step around them, anxious probably to reach their destination before nightfall. The three of them stand there in the middle of this dusty road and talk. "Where have you been these last few days?" one of the disciples asks the stranger. "How is it that you haven't heard anything about Jesus of Nazareth?" And so the two of them tell the stranger what they know. Listen to what they say from chapter 24 of the Gospel of Luke. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he would be the one who would redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." My friends, I don't know about you, but this story has always fascinated me. This scene of between two beloved disciples of our Lord, filled with sadness and despair, grieving at the death of a friend, telling that stranger how the last nail has been driven into their hope for the future, and our Savior himself, unknown to them, patiently listening to them, his nail-scarred hands perhaps undoubtedly buried deep within his robe to keep them from recognizing him. And as he heard those words of grief and sadness, no doubt his heart, Jesus' heart, must have been touched by their pain. Well, do you hear what they are saying? Can you understand what is happening here? For there is a message for you and for me, for us today. Listen to what they say. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and the rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. And we had hoped he would be the one who would redeem Israel." "We had hoped," they said. They might as well have said, "We used to hope, but not anymore." Because that's the way they felt. He was dead and gone. He had died this cruel death on the cross, and to them it was now over. Well, my friends, for those without a resurrection faith, those who have not yet heard and believed the good news of Jesus' resurrection, for those who do not believe the good news of Easter, death is final. Death is a terrible thing. For it puts an end to our hopes for the future and seems to erect this eternal barrier between our loved ones and themselves. Without a living hope, without a living faith in the resurrected Christ, like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, we are left to trudge our way along some dusty, dark road of life, dragging our feet, wondering what we could have done to avoid this. But it need not be that way. It need not be that way, because as children of God, as those who know the rest of the story, as those who have been to the empty tomb and have met the risen Christ, we know that death is not the end. We know that there is this eternal hope that is ours through faith in the living Christ. You know, there is a certain city in Romania which has a burying ground that is also called the Mary Cemetery. The Mary Cemetery. The crosses that serve as tombstones there are decorated with carvings, paintings in very bright colors, and even amusing epitaphs. They express, of course, the promise and the Christian belief in the resurrection. However, the former communist government, which wrote the travel folders describing this cemetery and its unique tombstones, until recently, described that Christian hope expressed on the tombstones as merely, and I quote, the expression of a certain philosophy regarding a way of facing death. A certain philosophy regarding a way of facing death. As Christian people, we know that there is more to our faith than that. Our faith in Christ is more than just a philosophy about facing death. It is a living hope, a living trust in God, and a certain faith in a risen Savior regarding the very nature of life and death itself. As people of God, our faith rests on our relationship with the crucified and living Lord Jesus, who says to us, I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, though he or she die, yet shall they live. That's why the Apostle Paul could say, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Your hope and mine as Christian people comes from God and resides in Jesus Christ, who died for our sins and won the victory over sin and death when God the Father raised him from the dead. The risen Savior alone can say, I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I am the resurrection and the life. If anyone believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. This story of those two disciples on the road to Emmaus is the story of faith reborn. It is the record of hope restored. That's what makes it so powerful and I think so timely for our time today. That's what makes it one of the greatest stories ever told. For it reminds you and me that we have a pledge and a promise from God, a word of hope, a living trust in our risen Savior that we can hang on to, especially in these days of uncertainty and challenge. Young Helen Keller, you know Helen Keller? She was a prisoner of her own circumstances. She could not see or hear. She could feel with her hands, but without sight or hearing. How could she know what she was feeling? One day, her teacher, Ann Sullivan, took Helen down that familiar path in front of her house to an old hand pump well. Someone was there drawing water. Ann took Helen's hand and held it under the water, and in sign language spelled on her other hand the letters W-A-T-E-R. And suddenly something happened. Suddenly her life changed. In danger of making a bad pun, we could say suddenly her eyes were opened. But it was just a little five-letter word. It was just the splashing of common water. But now Helen knew what it was. She knew what it was. Now she had a name for it, water. And if that experience had a name, others must also. It was suddenly as if the world had opened up for her. Now she could begin to reach out to the world and experience it in spite of her handicaps. My friends, a breakthrough of equally breathtaking importance happened to those two disciples of Jesus that first Easter night. Just as Helen Keller's life was changed, just as her eyes were opened to a whole new world outside of herself, in the same manner Jesus came to those two disciples and revealed himself to them, and their lives were never the same. Such is the nature of faith. Such is our resurrection hope. Because he lives, we shall live also, and he will walk and guide and comfort you and me through life. In 1837, a young doctor in Edinburgh, Scotland, made an amazing discovery, one that changed the course of modern medicine. He discovered chloroform, and in so doing, he found a way to take the pain out of surgery. Now everyone who has ever been to surgery ought to thank God for Dr. Simpson, but even though we don't get chloroform for surgery anymore, this concept of taking the pain out of surgery was born then. Give a person an anesthetic and they will avoid that dreadful pain of surgery. Well, one day while lecturing at medical school at the university, a young student raised his hand and asked, "Dr. Simpson, what in your opinion is the greatest discovery ever made?" It was one of those questions that students sometimes ask to cater favor with their professors, for the student was fully aware of Dr. Simpson's discovery of chloroform and expected this certain answer. But do you know what Dr. Simpson said? He replied to the student and to the students witnessing this, "In my opinion, the greatest discovery a person can make is to find the grace of God. In my opinion, the greatest discovery a person can ever make is to find the grace of God." And he meant it, not just out of a sense of humility, but he meant it from personal experience. We know that because Dr. Alexander Simpson and his wife had this little girl, a child that they dearly loved, and one day she was taken ill, and all the medicines in her father's black bag could not help her, and she passed away. They buried her in a cemetery in Edinburgh. A few months later, they placed a stone at her gravesite, and the stone that they had inscribed her name, Faith Simpson, and below the name, the dates of her short life. But there was more they put on that stone. There, above the place for her name, they had inscribed the words, "Thank God for Faith, Faith Simpson, and Faith in God." You and I, my friends, you and I, aren't we living our Emmaus road right now? We are walking and wondering and despairing and fearing, maybe feeling hopeless and lost, maybe grieving. And then we experience this presence walking alongside. It is the presence of Jesus. It is a peace, a burning love, a renewed hope. Such is the hope that is ours in the resurrection of Christ. Such was this trust we have in God. And such is the faith that we must live with. We must live with a faith and a hope and a trust that those two disciples discovered on the road to Emmaus that day. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we often succumb to hopelessness. We dwell on the deaths of our lives and what used to be. Help us to recognize you in the here and now. Walk with us over our and with us for our Emmauses. In the hope and in the joy of your resurrection, we pray. Amen. At this time, as we usually do in worship, would come the presentation of our offerings and the giving of our tithes to the works of God in this place at Bethany. And so it was suggested, and I thought it was a wonderful suggestion, that at this time I offer a prayer of dedication of offerings received. A good number of you have mailed in, or maybe you've done e-giving maybe, or you dropped by the church and dropped off your offering. We're very grateful for that support. But there are other ways that people are giving, even beyond this place. And so I offer this prayer at this time. Let us pray. Gracious God, giver of all good things, we are mindful of the many blessings you provide, even life itself. We ask your blessing on all offerings received in support of Bethany Church. And we ask your special blessing on the amazing gifts that are given to the many needs of this health crisis for your people near and far. In Jesus' name we pray. Let all the people say, amen. Amen. And now I invite us now to a time of prayer. If I can get my right pages here. Excuse me. This is this. Here we are. Lots of papers. So I have some prayer petitions. Most of these have been spoken before, and they are well worth sharing again. And so I will share these petitions. We'll have a period of silent prayer, and then we'll move into the pastoral prayer. We remember in these moments and in these days, we remember all the suffering with the COVID-19 virus here and around the world. We remember all who have lost loved ones, for all who are on the front lines of battling this disease, particularly in nursing home settings, for all families who cannot be with loved ones, for the millions now of unemployed folks and those small businesses, for the effort in providing what is needed in these days, for the thousands who suffer loss from the recent horrific tornadoes. We don't hear much about that on the news. For our governing officials, that they may be given wisdom in very hard decisions. For our churches and for our Bethany family, particularly those who are homebound, such as Bob Botter, Lillian Connors, Dorothy Kramer, Louise Snyder, Harold Maurer, Carol Haynes, Dolly Ackerman, Joyce Hammer, Joyce Berge, Kenneth and Joan Mathias, Marie Wolf and her son Dennis, Gerald Smith, and Arlene. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose presence is perpetual, not seasonal, we thank you that you are our refuge, that safe place, that sanctuary, and that we are held by your gracious power. By your Spirit, O God, we live and move and have our being. And though we have lately celebrated, we sense that nearness that enfolds us in all times and places. Since we have been raised by Jesus, help us to set our minds on the things that are above, where Christ is at the right hand of power. Remind us that all authority in heaven and earth belongs to him and not us. Make us obedient to his purposes and responsive to his will in all that we do. Never let that glow of resurrection dim either in our faith or our life. Grant us such a quality of life that others will know that we live our days in the life and light of him who gives nearness and newness to being itself. Gracious God, you have called us by your word to be people of the resurrection. You call us to believe the resurrection and make it manifest in our life together. So let this life in the community of faith, even as we are separated from one another, radiate the glorious hope that is ours in Jesus. Show us how to reflect that love with which we have been loved. Grant us grace to forgive as we have been forgiven. Above all, give us courage in sharing the gift which is ours in earthen vessels. Heavenly Father, whose love for your children knows neither limits of time nor place, bless with your favor all people everywhere. We pray for those whom sometimes we call enemies, that they may be beneficiaries of your grace and goodness. We also remember before you, of course, our own nation, so bounteously blessed by your goodness. Fulfill now the promise of earliest beginning and high ideals. Let justice be our creed and righteousness the hallmark of our life. Bless our own region where we live, our communities, that we may work not for our own well-being only, but for the health and happiness of all. Bless with your healing touch, O God, the sick, and comfort with your loving companionship the sorrowing. Raise any who are in despair to hope, and any who have suffered loss to share in your victory and love. Be in our midst, O God, to possess and to direct, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who taught his disciples and us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. And now let us sing our closing hymn, or our commissioning hymn, Alleluia, Alleluia, Hearts to Heaven. May the risen Christ reach out to us in unexpected and surprising ways as we travel our own Emmaus roads. May the word of our still speaking God continue to burn in our hearts. Go in peace and in love. Amen.